Welcome back to TRP.
Hi, welcome back to the Rosslare podcast. Now for a eulogy on the Honda 50 and its place in Irish history. Arra Jesus, where do I begin? In my eyes, the Honda 50 was more important to this country than the legendary St. Patrick, who they say turned all the snakes in Ireland into politicians. Though over the years, them politicians have evolved somewhat. And at the expense of a conscience, they developed big, thick, backrasher ears. And despite the fact they possess selective hearing, they rarely listen. One of them cunning traits they still possess is the ability to disappear when the going gets tough. Jesus, who wrote this shite? Anyway, they have the ability to lie low and blend into the background at the blink of an eye. Enough about the politicians. Let's get back on track and discuss the enormity of the contribution the Honda 50 has made to this Ireland nation. Before the event of the Honda, Ireland was a sorry place. Everybody knew everybody else's business. And if they didn't, sure, there was no reason to stop gossiping. Then, like the angel Gabriel, in 1959, a light appeared on the horizon. A saviour in the form of the Nifty 50, as it became affectionately known. Though some of the fancier ones, God forbid, had 90cc's, I suppose they would be a kind of a class of a corkman with attitude. Up to that time, each parish was its own self-contained cosmos, and the nearest town was often a galaxy away. Traipsing the winding roads and boreens from one galaxy to another suited only those with the proper equipment. A pair of hobnail boots. They could light their way home of a dark night, be the sparks flying from the nails making contact with the ground beneath your feet. And they were so bloody heavy, there was no danger of you being blown over in a gale. But alas, being sneaky occurred only when using the head, not the feet. Because of this geographical inconvenience, unless you were a doctor or a priest, all you had to your name was a trusty bicycle. Don't get me wrong, the bicycle is a wonderful piece of engineering, but to be fair, they are best suited when cycling downhill. I mean, there's two sides to a hill, and more often than not, you're caught gasping for breath as you struggle to get to the top. Sure, many a poor soul who had to cycle 8 or 10 miles to work would be bollocked, knackered, and sweating beneath his heavy crumbie coat before he even grabbed his bloody shovel, never mind the pickaxe. But them tough Neanderthal men were sadly on the decline, and as a nation we were getting soft. Less and less men were cycling from the asshole to Kerry to the station in Tralee with our sandwiches wrapped in brown paper bags and cycling clips around their ankles, rushing to board the train bound for Croke Park of a September morning. Now, this is where it gets right important. For the first time ever, when the Honda arrived on the scene, it was possible to travel for pleasure. And by Jesus, I mean pleasure in every sense of the word. Suddenly, you could work with aliens from towns as far away as 20, even 30 miles. That meant those who had the little Honda did not rely on the local hop to meet a girl. They could travel to the big barrooms and see all them huge stars like Richard Rock and the Miami Shore Band, Brendan and the Royal and the Clipper Carlton and God knows who else. For the first time since the plantation, there was a chance to widen the gene pool. No longer did you have to look at your first cousin with lust in your eyes as you stood in the back of the church of a Sunday, wondering if there were any strangers in the village to lift the mood of all the docile, yet hot-blooded males craving for women with less hair on their chin than themselves. Ha ha, the world had opened up. You could arrive at a dance hall smelling of sunlight soap without the sweat pouring down your back or your armpits darkening the clean white shirt Mammy ironed for you as you scrubbed the dirt from beneath your nails and washed the crown jewels in the kitchen sink. And now you could get away from the parish, away from the prying eyes of the holier-than-thou brigade And to make things better, you were a non. You weren't fucking known. And nobody knew you from Adam. You had no history. You were a foreigner, a curiosity, a breath of fresh air that could attract females like a flame attracts moths. You could make up lies, make up stories about how big your farm was and tell them how you were looking for a wife. And if you did manage to get the leg over, and I don't mean the Honda 50, good on you. And if you wanted to broaden your horizons, you could go somewhere else and start to pollinate all over again. 'Tis no joke, that little bike could take you 150 miles in a single tank of petrol. And by God, all the boyos did their best to spread it around. All you have to do is look at the class of beautiful children today to see how that little bike has cleansed the villages of incest and interbreeding. It was the first step in breaking the shackles of conformity. Just because you had roots in a village didn't mean you were a tree and that you were rooted to that spot forever. Oh no. You had the freedom now to roam. And we took to it like an alcoholic to a brewery. Sure, wasn't it the precursor to Butlins and the swanky redcoats? And later, to taking flights. Flights, if you don't mind. From Dublin to Torremolinos and Marbella. Where you could turn yourself lobster red in a single day. I'm sure I'm wasting me breath telling you this, but the Honda 50 is so loved in Ireland, they have clubs and events based around its legend. Even the well-known singer Christopher Moore sings about the little bike. I'm sure I read in the paper recently that in 2013, a young Wexford man, Sean Dillon, rode his Honda Club from Alaska in the northwestern tip of North America all the way down to Terra del Fuego, the most southerly point of South America, a trip of 3,000 kilometres. But I'm not in the least bit surprised that El Burrito, the donkey, as the Latin Americans affectionately call it, completed the journey. The Honda 50 will long be remembered for dragging a backward island, kicking and screaming into the 21st century. For many young men in the 60s, the Honda 50 might have been their first ride. But I doubt it was their last.
Keep on listening to TRP.